You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. You can ask questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, tax, technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rico Muhammad filling in tonight for Kevin Rutherford on the Rates and Lanes podcast. I tell you, you know trucking is real. You know that we are real truckers because I'm on my way right now to go pick up a load, and I'm going to pick up our good friend Chad Bobbitt, who is also on the road, but he's going to fill in for me for a few seconds until I get pulled in as soon as I can get him on the line. And we're calling up Chad right now.
Sorry, Mr. Call. Please leave your name and number, and I'll return your phone call. Thanks. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished.
Okay, everybody. Just bear with us just a few seconds. Let us get pulled in, and we'll get the show started in a few minutes.
The hell?
Hello, Chad.
Finished recording. You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay, now I think we're live on the air. Yes, the mic is hot now.
All right, good.
Okay, cool. So I apologize.
For the introduction again.
Yeah, I apologize, everybody, for the technical difficulties. This is Rico Muhammad and Chad Bobbitt holding down the fort for Kevin Rutherford as we are doing the Rate Per Mile, Rates and Lanes podcast this evening. So we both are going down the road. We were trying to get this thing rescheduled, but for some reason it didn't happen, so we just going to make it go at the regularly scheduled programming time. So we appreciate everyone calling in. If you have any questions, until we kind of get situated, please press 1 because we need questions immediately because we are not, neither one of us are able to get to the stuff that we wanted to really cover right now, so we're going to just take questions from the callers. So if you have any questions or anything, just press the number 1, and that'll put you in queue, and we can bring you up and take your questions live as we go. Chad, looks like we got us a question. We got us a caller with a question.
All right, good deal.
916. Caller, what's your name, and what can we help you with?
Well, my name is Paula. My husband and I just started the process. We have our DOT numbers and MC numbers and all that type of stuff. We need to get insurance. Where would we go? We're going to be doing reefer. Where would we go to find, since we're new, find what lanes pay well, find what locations are good? How do we learn where to go and how to do it?
Good question. I posted last week, I think it was,
yeah,
a link for DAT where you can get a benchmark 50 lanes. Basically, what you really would like to do is you can use that tool that DAT is advertising for free 50 to do a 50 pre-lane lookup to find out what the rates are in specific lanes.
Uh-huh.
And what I would do if I were you, I would try to locate the markets where I really like driving, where would I like to go. And I would try to locate those markets and put them in the request for the 50-lane lookup so that you can kind of get an idea of the historical rates in those specific lanes. So that'll give you. Go ahead, Jack.
I want to add something there. What was your name again, Mel?
Paula.
Paula. Hey, Paula. Do you know? Are you going to be using the Internet Truck Stop, the load board Internet Truck Stop? Do you know about it? Are you going to be using that?
I've heard of a couple different like brokers and load boards and such. We haven't decided on which ones we were going to use, but that's what, ITS, right?
Right.
The reason why I say that is they have a tool that I've used from I've been using for years, and it's called load densities, and it goes based on demand levels, and you can go in there and select reefer, it'll give you a graph and it'll show you the number of loads being posted, and the number of loads being posted in a state. Now we're looking at the whole state, so Texas is really big. And Dallas can be a lot different than Laredo. But it'll show you for the whole state of Texas the number of reefer loads that is leaving that state and the number of reefer loads that are posted coming into the state. It's a tool that I use. Go ahead, Rico.
Yeah, cool. And I was just saying about the DAT, about the 50 rate lanes, you know, you can kind of use that to gauge where you want to target. And once you figure out the area that you want to target, because you don't want to go to an area where you make a bunch of money going in, but you don't make hardly anything going out, you may want to target something where you're more even keel to where you can kind of make a nice, you know, have a nice level revenue stream coming in where it's close to the same revenue on the outbound and on the inbound side. So that's something you may want to. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I was. When you say lanes, are there like a lane would be something of my choosing? Like if I wanted to always go from Northern California to Southern California, that would be a lane, or is it
right? Well,
okay.
With DAT, the tool that DAT has, they're going to ask you for specific cities and zip codes. It's kind of like in an Excel spreadsheet format, and you would put in the originating city and the destination city along with the zip code. And then you would possibly want to reverse that, say, so that you can kind of feel what we've been talking about on the dumbbell concept, so you can see what a return trip from that same area would be back to your home. So you can kind of get an idea of, because ideally most people, if you want a two-truck operation, you want to try to get back home as often as possible. So if you can build out a lane, what I call a lane is something that may be 500 to 1,000 miles away, so that, you know, that way it's one day's worth of log. So if you look at a 500-mile radius, you can pick a city within a 500-mile radius, or if you want a two-day run, a 1,000-mile radius, and that'll give you 2 days out and 2 days back in.
Yeah, well, we run T, so that would be 1,000, yeah.
Okay.
I'll add something to that. It's very important. This question that you're asking is very, very important, and it's the number one thing that I do every morning. Before I start looking for a load, I want to know where the hot states are, what states are doing good, and it's the first thing I do every day to find a load. And just to add to that, I want to also say I posted this on the group page, Rate for Mile Masters. And that is that all the lower states, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, even Texas is doing great. Those states are right now are my pick of the states that if you wanted to go somewhere and afford drive in, I should add. And I'll let you go and take it from here, Rico. I'm getting ready to pull into this place.
Okay, yeah. I put up the in that post, I put up the trend lines for reefers. As a matter of fact, I don't got pulled in. And right now, the South is just really booming, really good for reefer freight. What area of the country are you in, Paula?
Well, we're based out of Sacramento, California. But we're looking at going out and staying out for a while and then coming home.
Got you. What is your, have you guys sat down and decided what type of business model do you want to run? Do you strictly want to run strictly off the broker board, or have you guys decided on whether or not you're going to try to pursue customers and try to get your own customer base, or you're going to try to do a combination of the two?
Probably a combination of the two. We're probably going to start out with the broker board and get contacts and figure out what's out there.
How far are you away from, you say you're just now getting your DOT authority, how far away are you before it becomes active? How close to that are you?
We're in the 10-day dispute period now. We need insurance and a trailer.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I would strongly advise right now would be a great time to sit down and get a game plan together and maybe start trying to locate shippers. Right now would be an excellent time, and you have an opportunity to sell them. And this was another critical thing that was discussed on the group earlier today as well. And I don't want this to get lost, especially with someone new coming in, to make sure that you guys sit down and really do a really hard, conservative spreadsheet as far as what your operational costs will be.
Okay.
I know some of that stuff is going to be difficult because you don't have all the numbers in, but you need to kind of project them out, and you want to project them out being on the high side, because if you're on the high side, if it's cheaper than what you projected, then you basically just gave yourself a raise. So you want to be really conservative on that, and that's going to be critical, especially starting up. I can't stress that enough. We talk a lot about on here, we talk about rates and lanes and all that stuff, and that's great, but I don't want the big picture to get lost upon really, you really have to have a well-rounded business. You have to be efficient on every front. So we talk about getting good rates, but you also have to have run a real tight machine and get really, be really lean and be really diverse and be really flexible, which as a smaller carrier is the selling point that you can go into your customers and really tout how flexible you are, and especially as a team operation and in the hotbed of you're right there in produce country.
Uh-huh.
You definitely want to be able to, that's a great selling factor right there, and, you can go in and there are people on the other side of the country that are looking to get their products right back into that market. So you could set up a nice little thing where you're just going back and forth. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a little bit of legwork. I don't want it to be sound like we're talking about it and it'll just happen overnight. You're going to have to hear no a few times in order to get regular direct shipper customer base.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to be it'll be so worth it. And I think you guys could potentially have you really could have an opportunity to really knock the cover off the ball if you guys, you want to take it slow, but, be aggressive about your game plan. Just make sure you get a really rock-solid game plan together about approaching your direct shippers, because you can do pretty decent on broker freight, but you're going to do much better in the long haul by getting your own direct customer base.
I have a question for you. Is when you deal with a broker, do they ever have you sign something that you're not allowed to contact who you're picking up from, the direct shipper, for like a certain period of time, like a temp agency does?
Yes, that's a back solicitation. If I can talk tonight, goodness gracious. It's a back solicitation clause that you're speaking of, and just about every broker is going to have that in their contract. That is why, since you haven't signed any of those yet, is why it would be great if you could start approaching a couple of people now and get ahead of that. But also make sure that you get your business cards and stuff like that, because you may not necessarily be going back and soliciting their customers or whatever, but you can't prevent their customers from calling you.
I like that thought. Okay.
So, I mean, it happens every day, but at the same time, I'm not trying to tout the know, a bad business practice of going out and stealing somebody else's customer. But you go do the hard work that you need to do, and trust me, the shippers are looking for carriers right now. They are feeling this crunch on having capacity, and they are looking hard for carriers right now. We have to go out there and market ourselves and able to get to them and show them that we deserve to have their business. They don't need to necessarily go through a middleman. Brokers serve an important purpose. I don't want to discount the value that brokers bring to the marketplace, because they do provide a valuable service. Sometimes the bad ones kind of make the industry look bad for the good ones. So, probably, like I said, if you can go back through the news feed and maybe try to find that, or just go to DAT and look for benchmark rates, and that'll give you a way to start the target, you know, give you some target areas where you can look for as far as outbound and inbound freight back and forth to your area.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Right. That help you out?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the call. Let's go to caller in the 316. Caller in the 316, what's your name? What you calling about?
This is Bruce Jansen again, Rico.
Bruce, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I didn't hear you give the USDA market report for reefers for produce. If you want me to read it off here, I can do that quickly before I ask my question.
You are the man, Bruce. You came prepared. Go ahead.
Well, okay. They said there's a slight surplus of trucks for central Wisconsin. We probably figured that. Here's the important one. A shortage of trucks is reported for the following regions and commodities: onions from the Imperial Valley of California, tomatoes, mixed veggies, melons and berries from central and south Florida, potatoes from Florida, and sweet potatoes, once again, from eastern North Carolina. A slight shortage of trucks is reported for the following commodities: blueberries from central and northern Florida, melons from south Florida, cabbage and onions from lower Rio Grande Valley in Texas, and citrus, tomatoes, carrots, mangoes, mixed fruit, and veggies from Mexico crossings through Laredo, Texas.
Now, I don't know how they are this week, because I've been in North Carolina all week long.
And can't
and
get
I
nothing out.
I haven't busted a grape up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have not. I haven't. And I'm going to post a picture of the fruit and vegetable truck report on the in the group. And I appreciate you helping me out on that, Bruce. What was your question?
Well, I'm noticing a trend, Rico, and I guess I'm throwing this out to anybody else or to you to answer. You know, 30, 40 years ago, when trucking was all regulated, a good bit of the trucking was a one-way haul. You got your money going from your area out to where you delivered to, and since you oftentimes didn't have authority to bring loads back, you got a rate that was commensurate with what it took to run a round trip. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with deregulation, that was busted up almost 100%. And, you know, for many years, it was you had to be loaded both ways to make a living. Well, it's
right.
Still that way, we all know. But what I've noticed is that as our rural areas become less and less populated and our urban areas become more and more populated, are we moving back to that kind of a scenario again where everything moves one direction? You know, where, you know, in the rural areas you typically have your agriculture, which is food commodities, which, you know, primarily what reefers haul, and, you know, the people all living in concentrated areas around cities, there's not much demand for return loads or backhauls, in somebody's lingo, going back out to the producing regions for food. And maybe living in central Kansas, I see that more than maybe other people. But, you know, other than a few packing plants in the western half of the state of Kansas, there's no freight and there's nothing going west into that area because there's nobody that lives out there to speak of.
I think you got a very valid point. And I think that that's why, for me, that was one of the defining factors of me moving to Atlanta. I think that the model is going more towards the major metropolitan areas. If you can find a good run back and forth between the major metropolitan areas, I think you can kind of insulate yourself a little bit. But knowing the history of small trucking is small town. It's,
yeah,
you know, the guys, most of the guys, you know, stay in smaller towns. It's not necessarily staying in the bigger cities or whatever. And that's kind of the conundrum that, you know, that we're falling into because, like you say, everything's kind of going back to, you know, more so in the heavier populated areas versus there's very little that you can find unless you can get ahead of the game and find out that the industries that are in those smaller towns, if you can find out what their inbound freight is and if there's a way that you may be able to contract with their suppliers or whatever to bring in their inbound freight, then you might be able to get around that somewhat.
Well, let me give you an example. The packing houses in Kansas are Tyson Foods, XL, Cargill, and National Beef. All three of those companies have their own trucking fleets.
Exactly.
You can guarantee that any load coming back to their plant of any supply that they have is going to be put on one of their trucks.
Well, man, and me being the independent spirit that I got, I got blood running down my cheek as I'm getting ready to mention this. But, you know, I've seen advertisements for Cargill. I don't know how good of a carrier they are as far as paying everything, but they, since you mentioned them, and one of their advertising, the logo in their advertising is work for the shipper. They're
yeah,
looking for owner-operator to lease on. Yeah, you know, I hate giving up that kind of control to anybody else, but, you know, those are one of those things you got to think long and hard about. If you can't establish some type of revenue for you to get back home, or you might have to look at, you know, kind of like what I did and bite the bullet and may have to hang up the overalls and get your city slicker clothes on and move to the
Yeah, but what I have in central Kansas is all paid for, and if I tried to sell it and buy in any metropolitan area of any size, it would buy half of what I have.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And age 55, I don't want a lot of debt anymore. I don't like debt. Yeah. I like being debt-free.
Amen to that, brother.
You know?
Amen to that.
I mean, I guess the question I'm asking, you know, you look at, like New York City, for example, just the East Coast, but you can take any one of those towns. If there's 100 trucks going into that city with food or other commodities, there might be 10 trucks being able to load back out of there within a 100-mile radius, you know, maybe. And unless you, you know, bounce into Pennsylvania or, you know, into Maryland or someplace away from that whole metropolitan area of people, the outbound freight just isn't very good.
I think trying to just thinking out loud and on the fly on this one, I think maybe what is the closest metropolitan city that you are near? You might have to devise a strategy to where, you know, you can get roll your cost into your cost of operation as far as your dead end and anything else that you're going to have to end up eating to try to get over into a better metropolitan area. And also, even with all of the companies that you just that you mentioned earlier, they still can't cover 100% of all of their freight. There's going to be times when they're going to need some excess capacity themselves. And it might
Well, they have a lot of other carriers in there, but they're all the mega carriers, you know, the ones that have lease, drive, train, you know, team on the back of their doors.
It might be a good opportunity, Rooster. If you're right there in their backyard, it might be an opportunity to begin just start to try to nurture some type of a relationship. You know, that might be one of those times where you might have to go in and put some of the stuff into practice that you know, Kevin and George and the guys talk about as far as, you know, going in there and not saying it's going to be easy, but, you know, to go in there, introduce yourself, and be able to win some of that freight over, you know what I'm saying, to be able to get some of that excess capacity.
I've already talked to one of I've talked to one of them that I have connections with, and, you know, to become a certified carrier with them means you have to have a drop trailer program, and then you have to bid on the lanes you want, and the lowest bid typically gets it. And, you know, there's no guarantees other than maybe a six-month contract at best.
Right now, with everything the way it's going, I don't think anybody's doing year-long contracts anymore. I think now more of the norm is the six-month contracts. But I think that, like I said, I know you say you've done some of that, and there may be opportunities there, you know, you have to go back in and still figure out if there's some kind of way. If you get to the right person, I'm pretty sure that there can be exceptions made to every rule.
Yeah.
As long as you get to the right person, if you package it the right way, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we may not be asking the right question, or sometimes it's not. We may be asking the right question. We might just be packaging it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, in relationship building and everything like that, you have to try to find, you know, look at it from, get up close to it, walk around it for a little while, look at it from all different angles. To see how is it that, you know, what is it? Do they have a problem? Do they have a problem lane? Is there something there? And is there something there that you might be able to go in there and feel a need and provide value to them? But at the same time, it works out for your business model as well. I mean, it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of homework and digging and fact gathering to try to get that information to try to see if something like that will fit into your operation. But if you stay in that area, it's a worthwhile investment. I don't think it'll be a waste of time. I think it'll be a worthwhile investment.
Well, what I've learned, I've kind of set myself up a triangle deal where I go from, I do have a haul from central Kansas down to Phoenix area, and then I've either been loading produce right in Phoenix or go down the Nogales and load frozen vegetables. Take those up into Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio, and then I can find loads. There is a food distribution center about 50 miles away from here that Kroger has, and I've been fairly successful in finding loads into there, and if not into there, I can always get loads back to Kansas City, which is 180 miles, you know, deadhead home to my next load. But so it is kind of, you know, it is working okay. I just always looking to get that last 10 cents out of everything that, you know, that someone else is putting in their pocket because of my work.
Right, right. Well, and like I said, and stay in that area, you know, if you plan it out, it might be a good worthwhile effort to go in and you know, take a guy out to lunch or whatever. I mean, you might have to do that for 6 months before you crack the egg or something like that. But, you know, in order to get them to warm up to you or whatever. But those are, you know, that's kind of like the behind-the-scenes stuff that you got to kind of invest that time in. And, you know, if you really want to get something different than what everybody else is, then you got to do something different. You got to do something to set yourself apart. And that's, you know, that's some of the stuff that I think would be a very good revenue, well, a very good way of you going about trying to increase your revenue. I'm thinking about, I'm going to reach out to Chuck Snow, who was at the CMC, the owner of Traffix up in Canada. And, you know, I know he has a big fleet and everything, but, I mean, he didn't start out that way. And maybe try to get him on that, get him on the line and pick his brain and get some different ideas of something different that maybe we hadn't thought of or something that we could incorporate that we might need to be doing differently to make ourselves more attractive.
Yeah, one more thing before I let you go, Rico. That husband-wife team that's just starting, you know, that was on right before me.
Sure.
One of the tricks I've learned is when you go talk to somebody, you ask them for the most impossible lane they have trouble finding trucks for.
Right.
And then offer your services as a team. They have an advantage that they can expedite loads that a single guy can't get done. You know, they can
exactly.
be on a short list of, hey, we have this load that just came up, and we have to get it somewhere ASAP. You guys can do it. Here, what does it take to do it? You know, kind of become
exactly.
hot shots with a 53-foot reefer.
Yeah, and I just wanted to go back and reiterate to them, if they're still listening, to make sure that, you know, don't discount making sure that they know their numbers, because that's going to be
– yeah.
You know, someone posted an excellent post in the group today, and that's going to be the difference between being and staying successful and may possibly going bankrupt. Because sometimes, you know, it's not really about how much you make, it's how much you can keep. And you definitely have to figure out and know your numbers.
And that line between profit and loss can be as sharp as a razor's edge sometime.
You got that right.
You know, one side of it, you fall off on the good side, but on the other side, you fall off on the bad side.
And that's why it's important, like, you know, you made the comment earlier about not having any debt. That's why it's so important to be debt-free.
Absolutely.
Critically,
you know,
important.
Yeah.
Well,
Bruce,
you had anything else? I was going to go over the trend line, but I got a chance to get stopped over here for a second.
No, I don't have anything to add. I appreciate everybody that posts on Facebook, and I learn a lot. Sometimes I don't agree with the people who are posting, but there's nothing that says we can't disagree. I just don't want anyone to be disagreeable.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I read a post that the other night. I disagreed with it, but I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, it's good to have. You don't want to have a totally monolithic crowd. You got to have a little bit of diversity. I mean, the variety being the spice of life. You know, if everybody agreed with everything that everybody thought, I mean, how in the world could you get any, you know, get better? You need someone to challenge you and make you, you know, make you step your game up a little bit.
You know, my sister had a good friend back 30, 40 years ago when they were in high school, gave her a little poster that said, "A ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not where ships are meant to be."
That's right.
You know, ships are meant
that's
to be out
right.
on the ocean, out there fighting the storms and the waves and going somewhere.
That is exactly right.
So.
All right, my
well,
friend,
you have a good... Go ahead. Have a good weekend.
I appreciate it, Bruce. We'll talk with you in a little while.
Good having you on, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. You back with me, Chad?
I'm back with you. I got pork. This is a good place. I'm podcast ready now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to jump on this next call in the 916. And, Chad, while you handling this call in the 916, I'm going to go run in here and check in.
All right, sounds good. Let's see what I can do. I hope they don't talk about reefers. I'll do my best. Go ahead.
Well, let's see here. Call up on the 916. What's your name? What you calling about? Uh-oh. Call up 916. Hello? Call him?
Maybe we'll have to salvage that one.
Yeah, maybe we'll put that one back on hold. Let's see. We got a caller from the 605. Caller in the 605, what's your name? What you calling about?
Yeah, my name is Joe Cox. I got a couple of things. For people that are looking for loads in hard to areas like Bruce was, there's a publication out there, or there used to be anyway, called the Shipper's News. And it's sold by the state, so whatever state you live in, and it has every shipper in that state, their address and their person in charge of shipping. Not only the big places got four docks, but the little places down the alley that they have to bring the stuff out on the two-wheeler.
Okay,
there is lots of freight in middle America on the back streets in these towns that got one street light.
Okay.
As you were saying that, I jumped right on the internet and tried to Google it real quick.
Yeah, that's the name of it. I can't remember, but they're sold in every state, and it's an awesome thing because it gets you a contact. You know, and sometimes what we need to do, too, is what I like to do is when I'm traveling, don't take the bypass around town. Go through town. Make a note. Stop in. Ask that shipper if you'd like to go have lunch. Lunch is cheap. That repertoire that you have with him can be never-ending. I walked into a shipper 23 years ago. I've still got that same shipper on a handshake.
There you go.
I load four trucks a week out of my shipper, and I've never had to look for a load outbound in 23 years.
Yeah, there's another that's some good advice. There's another program called ShipperMate. It goes through Internet Truck Stop, the load board I was mentioning earlier, and it's pricey. It's about $1,000 a year, $9.99, something like that. But it costs a lot. But the thing that it gives you is that it gives you it'll tell you when the volume is up. During December, this shipper here volume is really high. And the good thing about that is that when you can see when that particular shipper is in that city, when his volume goes up in dry van movement, and that's what you do is dry van, you could go to them and present yourself to them, and they're a whole lot more likely to listen to you and take you on as being the carrier that moves their freight, you and many others, if they have a huge volume, increase during that time of the year. I've gotten a class on it once before, and I guess the thing that's kept me from ever doing it is it costs them $1,000. It's a really good tool for brokers, though, and it would be a good tool for carriers as well that wants to start dealing with the shippers in their area.
Well, I think that if you're willing to put in a little bit of hard work and actually go in, like, you know, the stuff that we've already talked about previously, you know, the Mansa.coms, the Thomas Nets, the LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn gets you direct contact with the decision makers. And a couple of that along with the other tools, I mean, I think there's enough with the invention of the Internet and everything else. I don't think that you have to pay, I don't think you have to make that investment of that $1,000. I had ShipperMate for a little while, and it is a pretty cool little tool, but honestly speaking, I didn't get one customer off of it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. I got a couple of responses. I mean, I marketed to the people that we were trying to target, but I didn't get one customer off of ShipperMate. But I've gotten multiple customers off of, LinkedIn, and just free resources that are out here. I'm trying to Google what the gentleman just talked about. Still on the line with us, sir?
Yeah, and I'll have to go back and look at that again in my files, and then I'll send it on the link in a day or so. But like I said, they've got them for each state. There's 50 of them, and it's if it's a one horse town and they got some manufacturing in that town, it's in there, and you can go in there. I live in South Dakota, and it's amazing in the middle of nowhere. What is in those towns that you don't even think about? There's shippers there. You walk in there, and you offer to, like you said, take their hardest load, their most difficult customer, get in there and make them your friend. Make sure you know them. Make sure you do what you say. Say what you're going to do and do what you say.
That's the key.
That's it.
Don't sit there. Don't whine. Solve the problem. I haul kitchen cabinets. I have to unload. There's a lot of times my contract says this. There's a lot of times I get there, I have to do a little more. Yes, I can call the shipper and complain, but you know what? 23 years building a house, putting my kids through school, making me a dadgum good living, I want to do what I got to do to take care of them because they took care of me.
There
yeah,
you go. Chad,
as far as like Bruce down there in Kansas, now I started out in reefer country with reefers. Then I couldn't get into some of them places, the Cargill, the beef places. So I decided to go to dry vans because I didn't want to move to the place that was. And, you know, so maybe you don't have to move. Maybe you change your modus of operation to see, so you can live there, because I don't care what I pull behind me, a flatbed or something, it's got to make me a living.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
and that's
sure.
where we have to be in this. That's what we have to be in this industry. We have to be able to change on a moment's notice, whether it's for a broker, whether it's for a shipper, whether that – I mean, I have been on vacation before, and my shipper has called me knowing I'm on vacation and says, hey, where are you at? And I'll say, Jim, you know where I'm at. He'll say, oh, he'll call back an hour later and say, Joe. I say, Jim, what do you need? And the next day, I go home. But like I said, he's made me very good money for 23 years.
Wow. George Heck, he's in the group, and he was telling me about how he's got some shippers right there in his area that he deals with, and one of his shippers that he deals with needed more than the drive than what he's capable of doing. And George Heck went and rented the trailers for his customer to keep his customer happy, and the customer paid for the extra rental of the trailers and everything. Yeah, that's being versatile. It's good stuff. I'd like to invest in more trailers, or at least have that capability, have that backup if it ever were to come. I had a direct shipper that I dealt with all the time, and they maybe wanted flatbed and dry van or reefer. I need to be set up with someone that I can grab that assets from.
Oh, yeah, because that's what I've got. I got multiple trailers, and whenever they do it, they've used it. I've moved the plant manager before. I've moved his brothers before. I've moved their personal vehicles in the trailers before. I hauled a set of barbecue to the CEO of the corporation in Michigan because he wanted
done.
I didn't care. I didn't care. You know, you do what you got to do to survive. And this is you can make money. The old adage, you can't get rich in trucking, I disagree. You can. But you got to be willing to work for it. And, you can't be a crybaby. That's the only thing I've got to say. I know I make a lot of posts on there that make people mad, but that's me, But that's all I had to say is there's lots of shippers in Middle America. Don't take the bypass around town. Go through town and look at these shippers. They're there waiting for you to stop in.
Do you get a lot of shippers? Do you have a lot of contacts there where you live at? Where do you live at?
I live in Madison, South Dakota, just north of Sioux Falls. I've got more direct freight. In fact, I told two customers last year I can't haul for because I've got five of my own trucks. I can't do any more. Can't find drivers.
Well, have you ever thought about doing the broker side of it?
The broker side of it with this new bond. that's the thing. And quite frankly, the stuff we haul, you have to get back there and unload. Drivers and owner-operators don't like it. I love it. It keeps me in shape. I get paid very well for it. But when you mention doing that work, a lot of people, I'm not doing all them stops. I work from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night generally. I enjoy not having to work hard.
It goes back into quoting the ugly load. I mean, those loads with multiple stops on it, sometimes they are a treasure. They got lots of money in them because they've been sitting for so long because so many of these drivers will not touch it. They will not have nothing to do with it. And, I got a friend. He's on the group. His name's Tom. He's making some really good money. He found a little niche up in the Northeast in New Jersey
doing plants. I hope he doesn't get mad at me for letting the secret out. But he's out of New Jersey. We just talked today, and I know the reason why he's getting the rates that he's getting is because it's multiple stops up in the Northeast. And my friend Tom, he used to run up there as a company driver, and that kind of being up around the Northeast and those roads and stuff doesn't bother him, and it's just an extra stop, but he's making a ton of money, more, you know, $3-4 a mile up in the Northeast doesn't happen that easy, but he's up there doing it, you know, and talking about
I go to the same places all the time. All my drivers go to the same places all the time. We get to know the customers. Hell, I have customers come over, see me in the parking lot, and they say, hey, come over to the house and have a shower and eat dinner with us. I don't look at this as a job anymore, but so many drivers, they call in and say, hey, I want to work for you. I say, well, they'll say, what are you doing? I say, oh, I'll do this. Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing all them stops. They don't even ask about the pay.
Right now with the plants going on, I got another friend. He's doing plants there in Georgetown. It was one of the very. He started it when I did it at the beginning, and I got him in it, and now that's his niche. Every year, that's all he wants to do is go deliver those racks and plants to Lowe's, and he makes a good money at it. He makes round trip. I think he's like at $1.97 a mile, and plus they pay him $20 or $30 per stop. They add up, and it's at Lowe's, and it's at nighttime. Nobody signs nothing. He just goes back there, wheels the carts off the back of the trailer, and he's off to his next one. $20-$30 a stop, and he gets the money for bringing the carts back. Bringing the carts back. I think he said it was making like $6-$7 a cart bringing those back, and those are empty. And he does that every year. He likes it. He's not. Go ahead.
If we get 75 a stop, and that doesn't matter. A whole load is 225 cabinets. I can have anywhere from 15 to 25 stops, so it doesn't take long to take the math. I had a couple stops today. You had one or two boxes. Most of the time I'm in and out in 10 minutes. I get $75. That's lawyer's wages. If you take and figure out $75, it takes me 15 minutes. You know, I carry in a gallon of stain. $75. I go down the road. I get a fuel surcharge based on 53. My fuel surcharge, I actually drive less than I'm getting paid for the fuel surcharge because they allow us to do it the way we want. It's great. You know, we make our own appointments. Like I said, I've been doing it for 23 years. I love it. The only bad thing is there are times when if you don't find the backhaul, I've got to go back empty. But I get paid good enough that I can go back empty, and I have gone back empty from all four corners of this country, and it's just part of doing business. But you have to take care of that customer. That customer is my primary customer.
Yes. Let me ask you, Rico, have you came back on yet? Guess not. Still checking in. Hey, are you on the Facebook? It's gonna be me and you for the podcast.
I'm on the Facebook. Joe Cox.
Okay, Joe Cox. Okay. Hey, what?
I'm the argumentative one.
You're the argumentative one. All right. How's it going? What do you like about it? Pros and cons. What should we be doing?
I love it. I started driving 25 years ago. Like I said, I've been hauling this contract for 23 years, just on a handshake. You know, I threw something out last week about the rate per mile on multiple stop load. I didn't disclose anything, you know, but you get so many of these people saying $3 and $4 a mile. I'm not getting $3 or $4 a mile. I mean, when you figure in your stop pay and you figure in, you know, your surcharge and everything, but these, I had so many people on the group saying $3 or $4 a mile plus surcharge plus, it's like, you know, that's unrealistic. But, you know, I would rather do that because my numbers, well, last year I did $335,000 to my truck.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's good income. Maybe, you know, I've been well over $2 a mile for all miles. I write my mileage down January 1 in my house. December 31st, I write my miles down again. I'm well over $2 a mile for every mile my truck turns, loaded, empty, deadhead, bobtail, going to the grocery store, going to McDonald's if I want to go to the movie, everything. But I don't worry about rates because I know so many people, I'm not hauling for this rate, I'm not hauling. They can't make their truck payment because they get so hung up on the rate. But not the miles. You know, I would love to have $5 a mile, but at the end of the week, I have to have a certain amount of miles to generate that income so I can pay my bills.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, I'm back with you.
All right. Did you get all checked in, Rico?
Yeah, I just got checked in. Whatever you got, go ahead. I'll jump in later.
Well,
go ahead and finish up your point.
Well, I think we were pretty much done. Did you have another caller ready, or do you want us to continue talking? We can talk some more.
Yeah,
we're having a good time here.
All right. But if we got somebody else, he was the last one with a question. We got a bunch of calls on the line. If anybody has a question or a comment or anything, go ahead and press number one. Jump in the queue and we'll bring you up. But go ahead and finish your conversation.
So where do you host? What do you do, Chad?
I'm dry van. I do a lot of expedited loads. I focus a lot on the rate per mile. Unless it's something that I want to do. You know, if I find a run that's paying $2 a mile and Las Vegas has got some and the Las Vegas has got some good numbers coming out of Las Vegas, I'll take the chance to go out there to do something fun. I like got a lot of background noise, I do a lot of expedited loads. I go off of demand. I go out and I run about 2 weeks, and then I'll take a week off unless I get home during the week, and then, you know, but that's what I like to do. I like to stay out about 2 weeks and then come home, take a week off, and just run expedited loads. I like to be closer to the $3. If I can stay when it's doing really good, I'll be above the $3 range. I'm usually the last truck that'll leave the truck stop at the end of the day. You know, when it gets to be about 4 or 5 o'clock, people are starting to come in and they're done for the day. I'm still sitting there. I still haven't taken a load yet. I'm waiting for that desperate call where, you know, it's like they're calling the 911 service when they call my when they call me, and I give them the rate, you know, and I let them know this is why my rate is what it is, because I provide a really good service. I want to talk more to – I want to have more discussions about that. Why can you why is your rate – if you quote a higher rate in the broker and says to you, why is your rate so much higher? Have a way you can explain that. I'll tell you, I'm an owner operator. I'm gonna take care of your customer. When I'm done with your load, your customer is gonna request that I do your load again, and they're gonna keep you as their broker because I'm gonna provide that good service. And I get several times I've had brokers call me up and let me know that they received a letter from one of their customers that I did a load for. Load was delivered on time. They received white glove treatment. So I can argue the point where I am worth 15, 20, 20% more than the average company driver. I'm an owner-operator. I care about what I do. I'm going to be doing this for a long time. I'm going to have this MC number until the day I die. And, you know, whereas a company driver, that's a job to him. You know, it's not really his life or his blood. He's not sunk into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a shipper that was a trade show that we did 3 months of the year, and he had had everything, FedEx, Custom, Critical. They'd had White Glove. They'd have every big company, small company out there. We were the only company, we did it for 4 years, we were the only company to do it 100% no failure. I could name my rates. I didn't gouge them, but I did enough that I needed, you know, I give them a good solid rate, and we were on time. And this stuff didn't weigh 2,000 pounds. You could have actually put it in the bed of a half-ton pickup. But they paid us our rate that I asked, and we did it for 4 years. And last year I had to tell them, sorry, I'm down a truck, and I just couldn't do it. And they were extremely mad because we couldn't do it. We were the only ones not saying anything. We were the only, you know, the adage. Say what you're going to do and do what you say. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at 5 o'clock, be there at 5 o'clock. Not 1 minute after 5. 1 minute after 5, you're late.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
and
right.
Show up presentable. Show up in a good attitude.
All good key points. Well, we got another caller that's got a question on the line. We're going to move on. We actually going into bonus time, but I guess with all the hiccups and everything that we've had tonight, I don't know if we really want to call it bonus time. so let's see. We got a caller from the 585. I think I might know who this is. 585. Caller, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Rico. George, heck, how are you?
There's the man. I was just talking about him.
Okay.
Well, George, I got told a story today that, well, not a story, a true fact, and I know it was a fact, that whenever you don't use the load boards at all. Whenever you deliver your load, you go straight to making sales calls and finding your next shipper to do your next load. Is that true, or maybe 50-50? What do you say about that?
No, definitely true. My wife and I are actually talking about that when I'm in an area now. Do I just rent a car and try to make some sales calls? But, you know, so I can clarify to most of these guys and gals, you know, your own customers are going to be golden. They're just, you know, I feel like the previous caller took all of anything I would want to say, but he nailed it perfectly. Be presentable. Be happy. Be on time. I mean, I'm meeting a customer tomorrow just north of Philly, 7 o'clock. The salesman already called me and said, hey, what do you want in your coffee? You want a breakfast sandwich? I'll pick it up on the way in. You know, and this is a load that, in my opinion, is paying me phenomenal, but I'm not complaining. I'm sitting in a rest area right now because I lost my trailer lights, and I'm finally putting a new plug on the tractor, but I wanted to do it before it got dark. Well, I'm not complaining. I'm not pulling in a truck stop to pay somebody $200 to do it, and I'm not going to complain that I've lost an hour of sleep. I'm just going to take care of it. That's what the customer wants. They're in their business of building their stuff. They're not in the freight business. They want you to take care of that problem.
Exactly.
Now exactly. One thing I also want to share out here, a little secret about Chad. Chad posted last week when I was coming out of Chicago that he was going south in Indiana. I was behind him about 20 miles. We decided we were going to go for dinner. I said I would pick up dinner to go to the restroom. He came back and he goes, oh, I got it. Well, I thought he was being a gentleman. He goes, no, you can get the next time. I said, wait a minute, this dinner was $14. I said, what are you going to get, the next one with the steak and the beer? And he goes, well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. So tough to get his wallet open. But, I mean, just, you know, it's tough. And, Rico, you said it in the beginning, you know, you're going to hear no a lot, and it's tough. It's frustrating. I was working with Kenny and Elizabeth yesterday to try to take care of something for a prospective new customer, and I was just going to hand it right over to them and came up with a price. They wanted it out to Denver quick. They wanted it in Utah the second day. Well, Denver 2 days and then third day a partial, and gave them the price. And, I mean, the guy fell over, and it was just, I said, well, this is done. You know, but we tried.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that's the thing about it. You're not going to knock the cover off the ball every single time. I mean, professional baseball is not my favorite sport, but they pay, you know, if a guy has a .300 batting average, they pay you millions of dollars just to have a .300 batting average. And to understand what a .300 batting average is, you know, 3 out of 10 times that you come up to the plate, you actually get on base.
And here's one thing also. I mean, you know, I need to figure out who that other gentleman was that called in and talked about, you know, all of his customers. One of my moves that I have on the trailer right now, some flooring for one of my customers that I do her art shows for. She pays me round-trip miles on it, puts me up in the hotel, same thing like he was talking about. But I have a skid of flooring that she wants me to drop off in Connecticut to her daughter. And I said to her, I said, you know, it's a pain. I said, it's probably going to be this price. And she was like, I don't care what the price is. I'm getting more pretty much than most guys are getting on a full truckload for taking this flooring to her daughter.
Right.
But, you know, it's been a thorough pain. Trust me, it has been the hardest move I've probably done in the year and a half I've been in business, but it's doing what they want.
And like I was saying earlier, too, about sometimes, especially when you're dealing with, when you're prospecting or you're talking with a potential customer and everything, sometimes you might even need to take a step back and if you're not sure you're asking all the right questions, maybe you should ask them, you know, what should I be asking about? You know, find out where the value is from them. Don't necessarily get caught up in what you want, necessarily everything that you want or whatever. You can kind of, what you, your job is to find a way to tuck your proposition into what it is that they want and that they need. And if, and
yes,
if you can find a way to get in the boat instead of rowing the boat against the grain going up the stream, get in the boat with them and row down the stream, you know, to steal the words from the song, gently down the stream with them. Get in the boat and row gently down the stream with them. Put your proposition in the boat with them in the direction that they are already moving in.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Yeah, and we're and partner with them. You're not. I use my words of customer, but I like to call them. I prefer to call them partners because they are partners
right
to you. And like I've said when I was on the one podcast, I have some customers that stretch me out, but I have a customer. I did a move for her last Thursday. I billed her Friday. The check was in my mailbox today, and they're, you know, one day mail transit away. How do I put a value
right
on that?
And what we're talking about right now, you know, this is just, and it would probably be a good time maybe one of these days to try and get George and bring him on and bounce some ideas. Maybe he, you know, can, he might be able to bring some other stuff to the table too. But these principles that we're talking about, these are philosophical principles that you must adapt to. I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, but you got to get it. If you don't get it, then I don't know what to say.
Well, if you don't get it, you're just, unfortunately in our industry, you're just like everyone else, and guess what? You're going to get paid just like everyone else.
Yep.
You know, and that's not what I want. I spent 15 years in sales, and I listened to customers complain about the trucking industry. The guy was rude. The guy didn't show up on time. The guy couldn't speak English. He didn't care. He was nasty. He didn't shower. It was almost scary when I came out on my first trip. I called my wife, and I said, what have I done? I said, there are a bunch of slobs out here. And I'm sorry. It is the way it is.
Well, I got to jump back out for a quick second, guys. Chad and George, I'll let you guys carry on for a little while longer. We are past the 8 o'clock, but we still got people on the line. People are listening, but we don't have any more questions. But if there's anything else that you guys would like to share, you guys have that, and I'm going to jump out real quick.
Yeah, Chad, you still there?
Uh-oh. I didn't jump out just yet. Well, it looks like Chad's gone on. Well, George, did you have anything else you want to share? Or
no, one other thing. And, you know, it's probably a tough thing that I hate to deal with is when I don't get a move from a customer. But as I was explaining to you earlier today about, I thought I was going to have a replacement move this week, but timing didn't work. I couldn't do it. They ended up going to Lance. Well, I didn't mean to say who it was, but anyway, they gave it to someone else. It was not done to the level that I gave them, and what did it do? It just reinforced the value that I bring to them.
There you go. There you go. They don't miss you till you're gone.
Yeah. Bingo.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, everybody, we try to catch up and give a little bit of a bonus time. This is real trucking. We're guys that are actually out here moving freight, so we can kind of speak to you from the same level that you're on. Everybody brings something different to the table. We're learning from one another. We're gaining experiences from one another. I appreciate everyone for calling in and bearing with us again tonight through the technical difficulties. Well, it really wasn't technical tonight. It was more scheduling than anything else. But I appreciate you guys bearing with us, grinding it out, and hanging in there with us. So we're going to probably wrap this one up and look forward to chatting with you next week. Hopefully we can get the schedule worked out where we don't have this problem again. But if not, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. We're going to try to stay and you know, make sure that we make this a weekly ritual to meet you here same time, same place next week. So tonight, signing off from – so you want to say something real quick, George?
No, I'm just – you know what? You're hitting the nail on the head. I'm game for it. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's an interesting industry. And just, you know what, guys, folks, guys, gals, put a smile on your face. You know, it's hard enough for the world with everything being a sourpuss. Let's have a good time out here and make some money doing it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, signing off tonight for Kevin Rutherford, Chad Boblett, and also our good friend George Hick to join us here at the end, I'm Rico Muhammad, signing off live from, where the heck am I? Marksville, North Carolina. For Kevin Rutherford, be safe out there, everybody. Master the journey, and we'll talk with you next week. Good night.